Welcome to Look Up with Pastor Mike and his wife Linda Sasso of Calvary Chapel of Eagle, a radio ministry designed to assist you in applying God's Word to your everyday life. For the next half hour, Pastor Mike and Linda will encourage you with your walk with Christ and help you look up to Jesus. If you need advice on marriage, life challenges, or relationships, call in now. It's time to look up to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Here's Mike and Linda.
Well, hey, everybody. This is Mike Sasso in studio with my wife, Linda, and we're looking forward once more to what the Lord will do in this short half hour together. It's funny. As we're on our way in, we always pray once more, Linda, as she often does, just thank God for another day, another day to live for Him, another day to serve the Lord together. And, you know, it dawned on me as we are praying, how few people really are thankful. Are you thankful for what the Lord has done in your life? Are you thankful for another day? There are a lot of people living in misery, a lot of people who have regrets, and whether it's bills or health problems or whatever, let me promise you, you do have something to be thankful for. You know, Linda and I have things we could complain about. We've got things, you know, hurts and pains and things that we could allow to bring us down and drag us, you know, through the mud, that kind of thing. But I want you to know what a difference the attitude makes. I would call it the attitude of gratitude. So as we start our program today, let me remind you and encourage you, no matter what you're going through, thank God for what He's done in your life, for the good things in His life. Are you a Christian? Thank God that your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
Thank God that you're a child of God. You know, there's a lot of things in our life we can thank God for and be just have an attitude of gratitude. And again, I'll say there are things you can grumble about. Well, you know, but it really doesn't do any good, does it? The things we complain about or grumble about or even worry. You know, I've heard many times statistically speaking that, you know, statistically, like 95%+ of the things we worry about either never come to pass or there's nothing we could do about it. You know what I mean? If there's something you can do about it, certainly do something about it, whatever you're concerned about. But if there's something you're all worried and stressed about and there's nothing you can do about it, that's why the Bible says, cast your cares upon the Lord, for He cares for you. So can I encourage you today as we begin our program together that look to the Lord, even as our theme song says, look up, look to Jesus, trust in Him, cast your cares upon Him, and be thankful. It will make a big difference in your day. Even if, you know, your circumstances never change, you can still have the attitude of gratitude. And, it, you know, even secular world says that it's healthy for you. You know, when you're facing a medical situation, you're facing surgery, whatever, and if you enter into it with a good attitude, with a great disposition, it makes a difference. So anyway, I'm encouraging you. That's God's will for your life. Happy are the people whose God is their Lord. And so have that attitude of gratitude. I'm going to let Linda now tell you how you could communicate with us as we continue in our series of life-changing truths in Ephesians. I'm sure that some of you might want to call in or text us. Linda's going to tell you how you could do that.
Hi. Whoa, I'm way down there. What happened? We got this going landscape.
Yeah, I'll fix it.
But we're having a hard time getting it to work because it's sliding all over the place. But it's okay. Be patient with us. We will get this working right. We like the landscape better than the vertical. So, okay, you know what? The one thing that the Lord's really shown me is just every day that I wake up, I need to be thankful. I have another day. I have another day that I can serve Him. I have another day that I can make a difference in people's lives. So even if it comes down to you woke up this morning, that is something to say, thank you, Lord. That means He's not done with you yet. He's not ready to take you home yet. Okay, the number here, if you want to be live on the air with us, if you have a comment about that, you want to tell us what you're thankful for, we'll take that one. That would be fun.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, it's a good idea. So that number would be 208-377-3790. Again, that is 208-377-3790. Can't handle talking on the radio. Believe me, it's not really scary, but if you just think it would be, go ahead and send a text message to Calvary Chapel Eagle's phone, 208-891-2636. 1-800-875-5735. And if you're out there in Facebook Live land, go ahead and put your comments. We're keeping an eye on those ones too. So I know we're picking up again.
Yeah, we are in Ephesians chapter 5. But here's the thing. We try something new and we're messing it up on the phone here. What we're trying to do is look at some of the commands that God has given us in the scriptures that make for good relationships, relationships of love, the proper way of living with the right attitude before Him, and that we're applying them to marriage. Now, one of the things we're looking at, we have been in Ephesians 5, our springboard scripture that we started out with is Ephesians 5:15 and through 17 that says, "Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." So I'll remind you, one of the things we're shooting for is to help you understand what God's will is for your life, for your relationships on all levels. And of course, ultimately, we're applying it recently to marriage because we just felt like the Lord's been encouraging or moving us in that direction to encourage marriages and to build up marriages. So the key phrase here is don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And remember our beginning statement when we first started this series, we said that any marriage can work if you have two people willing to do the right thing. Okay, so what is the right thing? Well, the right thing is understanding the Word of God, understanding the will of God. And if you're willing to do the will of God, that makes all the difference in the world. So I'm telling you, being willing to do God's will is half the battle right there. Once you're willing, and then the second half is understanding what the will of the Lord is, and now you're on your way, okay? So what we did was, as we started in Ephesians 5:15-17, we realized to get some context, we had to back up. We left off on verse 29. Actually, I think we probably just touched on it, but let me get the flow of that.
That's of chapter 4, of Ephesians
4. Ephesians chapter 4. Because we started in Ephesians 5. We thought, let's get some context. We backed all the way up to 4. And let me get the context now. We started at 25. Let me read that to 29 where we left off yesterday. "Therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath." Now, if you want to hear about this, we've already spoken about it. Go on our Facebook page and you could scroll down and watch previous broadcasts. "Do not give nor give the devil place." Now, one of the things I'll continue to emphasize is Paul is telling us these things, lying and stealing and anger and all of these things that are being listed here that we're warned not to do, or at least you could be angry but sin not, right? All of these things really give the devil a foothold in your life. They really give the devil an opportunity. And so what we're trying to encourage folks, you want to talk about spiritual warfare? This is spiritual warfare. It's not just all hocus pocus spooky stuff. It's you opening the door for Satan to have a foothold in your life. That's what spiritual warfare consists of. The primary part of spiritual warfare is what you allow the devil to do in your life. You giving him place, giving him foothold, even by the things you say and the things you do. So, nor give the place to the devil, verse 27. I'm in Ephesians 4, verse 28. "Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need." Now, we talked about that yesterday, too. So we just started on this verse 29 of Ephesians 4:29. And I think we need to talk a little bit about this because your words make a difference. Let me read verse 29. "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." Now, of course, first let's start where it was meant to start. This verse is meant for everyday Christian living. This verse is made for you in your everyday life, at home, at work, at play, wherever you go, that you should not let corrupt words flow from your mouth. You know, it just amazes me the kind of language that some people have, and especially Christians. It's funny, you know, I don't know, we're all different, but that's since I got saved, at least, that hasn't been an issue in my life. I think before I got saved, I had people telling me, man, you used to cuss like a sailor. I said, I did. And I got saved in high school, you know. And so I had friends tell me, oh, yeah, when you were in junior high, I'm thinking, when I was in junior high, I talked bad. Oh, yeah, you don't remember? No, I don't. The Lord cleaned up my language, and I'm glad for that. But, you know, you could pick up that stuff again. Who you hang around with, the Bible says, don't be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. So the kind of people you hang around with, you could pick up on it. But I also want to say this about letting it rub off on you. After I got saved and after I got strengthened in the Lord, I got a job in a print shop where I was working. We called it lithography. And I worked in a union where there was it was an all-men shop. The women were in the sales office, but the men were in the shop, and it was nasty. The language they used, the words they spoke, they couldn't speak a sentence without using a foul word. You know, hand me the blankety-blank wrench. Why don't you, hey, Sasso, get over there and bring me back that blankety-blanky-blanky, and then they tell me what the part was. And it's like, that's just the way it is. And so you may be in an environment like that. But I'm telling you the truth. I got to the point where it didn't, like, horrify me to hear them talk like that, but it didn't come out of my mouth. I think you could do that, okay? You can be in an environment, especially in a work environment. There's sometimes you can't choose the kinds of people you work with. You know, you do choose the person you marry, by the way.
Yes. But,
and you can have some control over your kids and the things that come out of their mouth. And you can have control over what comes out of your TV, or the kinds of shows you watch, okay? Or the games that you play. And the music you listen to. But the point I want to say is, if you're in an environment that you have no control over and you can't stop it, you know, I'm working with these guys, that's just the way they talk. That doesn't mean that's just the way you have to talk, okay? You can choose to have a clean language, a clean mouth. You don't have to talk like that, okay? So let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. You know, why did he put it like that? Because I think we need edification. We all need to be uplifted, you know, and of course, the primary environment this fits best in is in the Christian environment. I know that we don't all work in a Christian job. We don't all live in a Christian home, but the primary, the ideal place where this would fit in is in a Christian environment. Certainly, as Christians get together, we can choose not to use corrupt words. You know, I tell you what, pastors don't seem to have any problem at the pulpit not using any cuss words, right? So why can't you live the rest of your life like that, huh? You know, because I know some people in ministry who have no problem using corrupt language. I just don't think there's a place for it in a Christian's life. There are, you know, if you have limited vocabulary, I'm sad for you, you know? But we should be able to have a good enough vocabulary that you could describe things in your life and you could use adjectives and verbs and nouns that don't necessarily sound offensive and corrupt and foul and vulgar, okay? Anyway, I'm on one of my hobby horses. I'm going on and on. But let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification. Okay, so here's the thing. What is edification? It's really building one another up. It's strengthening people you talk to and building them up rather than tearing them down. And so Paul calls that necessary. I really believe in the Christian environment especially, there is no way that when you hang out with your Christian friends, you should be putting one another down. You should be saying things that pull your brother or sister down. And it says that it may impart grace to the hearers. I was looking at that word grace earlier today, and it's just really, there's so many different ways that word could be translated. It's the word charis in the Greek, but it could be acceptable, benefit, favor, gift, joy, liberality, pleasure, thankworthy. You know, your conversation, your words should make people blessed. It should bless people. Those who are around you, when they hear you talk, it should bring them joy. It should bring them benefit. It should bring them favor. I'm going down this list again. It should be acceptable. It shouldn't be like they just, you know, I know there's been times I've gotten kind of sassy with people when they use foul language or gossip, and I'll just say, hey, these ears aren't garbage cans, you know. And I think there's a time when maybe we even have to stand up and say that. So it looks to me like Linda has something to say. I've been hogging the microphone here.
Yes, you have. Oh, I am falling right off the side there.
Yeah, we're still working on that.
Yeah, this one's loose. That's the problem down there. Okay. You know, I mean, a lot of times we put this no corrupt word as meaning foul language, okay? As Christians, we shouldn't be using foul language. It just isn't becoming. But that word corrupt is basically worthless.
Huh.
Why use worthless language? And one of the ways that I want to put this, and especially now we're putting it into marriage and into relationships, is no corrupt, no worthless. I would put that in with mean, with bullying. And I know in a marriage relationship that there are times that women or men put up with very corrupt language being said to them. You know what? That's not normal and that's not right. We shouldn't talk to other people that way. We shouldn't bully them. We shouldn't belittle them. That is a form of abuse. And so many times, you know, women feel they're being abused in a relationship, but they're not being hit. But verbally, they are being torn to pieces. Mm-hmm. If you are doing that to your spouse, and it can go either way, sometimes it's the woman that is verbally abusive. Stop it. That's what I can tell you. Stop it. That's not what we're supposed to be doing. That will give the enemy a foothold. You want to give the enemy a foothold, you start belittling and berating your spouse. That will give a massive foothold to the enemy. Now, we're supposed to be avoiding those. What we're supposed to do is give needed building up. That's what people need. There's enough negative out there in the world that I don't need someone basically abusing me with their words, belittling me.
Yeah, there's no place for that in marriage, that's for sure.
Yeah, there's no place in marriage, but there's not even in the church, with friends, in family, just relationships. Why can't we just be nice to each other? That's kind of where we started, with being kind. And this necessary edification is needed. It's needed, and it's building up. We need to be built up. There is enough evil in this world without us spewing it on each other. So if you're one of those that you're careless with your words with your spouse, please don't do that. You're not going to have a good marriage that way. You're not going to have mutual respect and love that way. You're going to maybe churn up some fear, and maybe you'll get some obedience out of them, but that's not what a marriage is supposed to be. So that's another way that we see these corrupt words is ripping people apart.
Right.
You know, it's not
it
just
doesn't
foul
even
language.
It doesn't have to be a cuss word.
Yeah. It can be that being mean-spirited with your words. And some people, boy, do they know how to use them, you know? It becomes like a double-edged sword that they just go around lopping people's heads off. And sometimes people just don't recover from that. It hurts, you know, and I agree, Bobby, we don't talk to our kids that way either.
Very good.
Our kids need to be built up. They need positive words. If we speak negative words to them, we're going to destroy their little spirits, for one thing. We're also going to teach them a very, very bad habit. So.
Right. So I think Linda makes a good point there that you can be, you can actually be abusive and hurtful to somebody without one cuss word coming out of your mouth.
Yes.
So abusive language or corrupt words doesn't necessarily just mean swear words. You could be mean and nasty and hurtful in things that you say in many different ways. So consider that. Keep that in mind. Now, I want to point out to you this next verse really hones in on something important, because verse 30 of Ephesians 4 says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." I want to point out two things to you. First of all, we looked at back in verse 27, that these things give place to the devil in your life. For instance, corrupt words and being mean and nasty and saying things that are hurtful and harmful to other people gives the devil a place, gives the devil a foothold. But also in verse 30, it says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. I believe the reason why that's in this context is that one of the ways that we can grieve the heart of God is in the way we talk to one another. Using corrupt language or all of these things on this list here are ways to grieve the Holy Spirit. And I certainly hope that you don't, that it's your desire not to grieve the Holy Spirit. So go back and read Ephesians 4, verse 25 on, and look at these things and let the Lord search your heart and show you, are there some changes that need to be made in my life? So let no corrupt word. Now, you know what? I was just looking at that verse 29 and a few other translations. Thought it was interesting. New Living Translation. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them.
Yeah.
The NIV says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only that which is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen.
Let me tell you, this could also, I'm falling off the table again. Let's tell you that a complaining spirit, a complaining voice, that's always when you talking to somebody, it's always, well, now that's really contagious. And they can pick that up. I feel that fits right in with corrupt words coming from your mouth because you're not building them up. You're not imparting grace to them. You're dragging them down so that sometimes people will take on your same attitude when they didn't have a problem with it at all before. But when they keep hearing complaining over and over again, sometimes they can take it on, and other times it gets to where, you're calling, they look at the phone and say, am I up to a complaint session? And sometimes you say no and you don't answer it right then. You know? So complaining, I think, also fits into those corrupt words because they're not edifying. They're not imparting grace. They're dragging people down.
Right. And it's funny because there are two differing responses that someone can have to a complaining spirit, or, you know, just this, like Linda says, either it rubs off on you and you and your friend are both complaining about everything, hating the world, or it makes the other person not want to talk to you, okay? I would say that if you have a godly friend and all you ever do is complain and nag about things, your godly friend may not want to answer the phone when you call, okay? Let me read before Linda just gave me the 1 minute signal, so we just got a little bit of time here. The Holman Christian Standard Bible puts verse 29 of Ephesians 4 this way. No rotten talk should come from your mouth, but only what is good for the building up of someone in need in order to give grace to those who hear. I know you keep thinking, I don't want to hear the same thing over and over again. No, this is good stuff. The good stuff you can hear over and over again. One more, and I'll quote from the Message translation. Watch the way you talk. Let nothing foul or dirty come out of your mouth. Say only what helps. Each word is a gift. I like that. Okay. So anyway, that's one of the reasons I keep a whole array of translations on my computer. It's just nice to look at the different translations. Again, I'll remind you that all of these things that we're being warned about grieve the Holy Spirit. And what does it mean when you grieve the Holy Spirit? Another word could be quench the Holy Spirit. I would tell you that if you practice these things that we're being warned against here, whether it's stealing or anger and wrath, whether it's corrupt words, all the list in this section, if you practice these things, you're quenching the Holy Spirit, and it's really stopping the flow of God's work in your life. When you could be used by Him, it'll shut off the flow right then and there. Maybe He wants to use you that day, but now forget it because of your attitude and your words. The Holy Spirit can't work in your life. Listen, I hear the music. This is Friday. Go to the church this weekend. If you're looking for a good church, come join us at Calvary Chapel Eagle. Other than that, God bless you and thanks for listening.
If you'd like to know more about Calvary Chapel of Eagle, just go to the website at cceagle.org. Be sure and join Pastor Mike every Saturday at 8 p.m. and on Sundays at 8 a.m. for his radio show, It's All About Jesus. If we ran out of time and you didn't get a chance to call in, you can send your questions to lookup at ccEagle.org. And may the Lord richly bless you as you continue to look up to Jesus.
Look full in His wonderful face. I want to grow dim standing next to You.